This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Kunnison and you're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, last week we had a Ringgit Q&A session and lots of questions, lots of good questions came in, but there was one about property. And that got me thinking, maybe we should explore this a little deeper today. Things like when it comes to housing, should you rent or buy? Or when it comes to investment, is property a good choice? To help me explore this, I have in the studio with me a very familiar voice to those who listen to BFM and longtime listeners of Ringgit and Sense, Julian Ng, a morning run presenter, certified financial planner, and now co-founder and chief financial guy at Accru, which is en route to hopefully becoming a robo-advisor. Welcome to the show, Julian.
Thank you, Roshan. Thanks for having me here.
And
glad to be here.
And it's glad to have you on the show. This is a different dynamic for us. Normally, we are side by side in studio. Now, we're facing off each other.
Exactly.
Right now.
It feels like you're grilling me. You're going to grill me.
Ring and Sense is a saute. Let's not call it a grill. But Julian, you know, we got a few questions last week about property. And I really want to try and see how much we can get from that. To just highlight maybe an anchor question for this entire interview. Someone Instagrammed in actually, once and for all, to buy or not to buy a house? And if yes, how much should I spend on it? Is there a formula? Everyone wants a cookie cutter way of dealing with this. So before we get to all of that, Julian, what is your take on buying a house?
I think, Roshan, there is a very huge fixation on buying in our culture. And I think that we should move away from it. You know, the sharing economy is so hot right now. Everybody is talking about it. When you actually pay $5 for your Grab ride, for example, that is effectively rental of something that is more expensive, which is buying a car, right? So the idea of renting precedes the sharing economy by miles, right? It's a very old idea. And renting is just a part of that. I think it's okay to rent. There are very extreme examples of cases where you can't do anything but rent, right? It forces you to rent. I'll give you another example. For example, if you're traveling, you don't really buy a plane. I know it sounds silly to say this because buying a flight ticket has become so natural for us. But effectively, when you buy a flight ticket and not buy the plane itself, you are renting the plane in a very short time window. There are also other extreme cases, like in places where property and real estate is very, very expensive and unaffordable, like Hong Kong, London, and Singapore. If you were working in those places, you wouldn't think twice of renting. You wouldn't think twice of not buying the place, right? You would just rent and not be so fixated on buying. So I think renting is okay, and we should move away from this cultural fixation in buying.
I really like that analogy, Julian, because I've never thought of it that way. Because no one goes out and buys a plane to go and use it. It's
exactly.
Just way too expensive for us. But you buy a plane ticket. So booking a Grab is buying a ticket, essentially,
for
that ride.
And it's all about affordability, right? And right now, the startups are exploiting the different value chains and the different time frames in renting a car. For example, not only do you have a per-trip rental, you have hourly rental and you have daily rentals, right, in the old models. And so they are exploiting different rental time windows.
Yes, and you know, we'll talk about, because generally when it comes to property, the cultural norm is that it's a good investment. You want to do that because over time your asset will increase and all of that. But we'll get into that a little later. In the meantime, sometimes there's a lot of insecurity when it comes to renting. You know, there's a lack of ownership over the property because, well, you're renting it, you don't own it. Do you have any thoughts or at least tips when it comes to renting?
Actually, I think it's really a misconception because it's really all about improving or increasing your net worth, building your net worth over the course of your career and over the course of your life. Many people think that if you don't buy the property, your life ends there and then, which is a ridiculous idea because a renter can free up a lot of their funds to invest otherwise, which would have been put into the property. I've actually done the math here. Renting actually frees up a lot of funds. There's a huge capital outlay in buying. For example, your down payment is anywhere between 10 and 20%. There are renovation costs, there are legal fees, and then there are ongoing maintenance charges. So, for example, if you buy a 500,000 ringgit property, the spendings on the initial outlay would be somewhere around 100,000. That's a huge outlay, which can finance, let's say, 10 years or a decade of rental, right?
Or money that could have gone into, let's say, investing, which you then maximize compounding interest and all of that.
Yeah, so you actually don't lose security if you rent it because you can invest that money, which is a huge outlay for you to invest, and not to mention the monthly mortgage that can also go into investing.
Yes, and you know, you were talking about if you bought a 500,000 ringgit house, so you assume it's a 10% down payment, so that's 450,000 ringgit you're borrowing. And if you include interest over 35 years, you're not actually paying 450,000 ringgit. It could amount to maybe double of what you pay over the 35
well,
years.
The interest is not the scary part of it, right? But you are basically investing into property, money which you could have, which could have gone into other investments in a portfolio which suits you more. So the property returns over the long term are much lower than, let's say, a portfolio of stocks, right? You are foregoing those kind of extra returns that you can get from stocks because you have put so much money into the real estate that you are staying in.
It's the opportunity cost, basically, of buying Absolutely. The house versus investing. So when I was talking to, when we did the Q&A, Joyce made the case that sometimes when it comes to buying a house, it just really comes down to whether if you really, really, really want it. And if that's the case, if someone really, really, really wants to buy a house, Julian, what are the considerations they have to make so that they are not making a decision that will financially put them back?
Well, I would say that actually not me, but a lot of people say that your first home is not going to be your dream home. So you've got to make compromises in your first purchase. It's not going to be in the location that you would desire. Those aspirational desires are very expensive. You know, if you aspire to buy a home in Bangsa, for example, that's going to be very expensive, and that is going to make your life very unhappy, I feel. So buy somewhere that is cheap. Don't spend too much on renovation costs, and just make sure that you don't live beyond your means. Make sure that you can cover the mortgage. Otherwise, the bank can take over the ownership of your home.
Is there a formula there for to answer one of the questions from last week when it comes to buying property?
Well, I don't think there is a cookie cutter answer for that. A lot of it really depends on your risk profile. For example, is property a good investment for you? You really have got to wear two hats here. Are you a property investor or a property consumer? Because if you're a property consumer, you can just very well rent for very much cheaper. But if you're a property investor, then you got to ask the question of whether that property risk profile fits you, the risk and return profiles fits you. Property has got lower risk, lower return than stock investment. So if you're a young person planning for, say, your long-term retirement, you want to take higher risk to get higher returns, in which case, one single property does not suit you as a form of investment. In fact, one single property also does not fulfill the diversification need, right? A portfolio should have many, many stocks in it, whereas you're putting, you know, buying a property is akin to putting all your eggs into one basket. So that might not fit your investment profile.
Yes. And then personally, when it comes to property, that is my biggest fear, the concentration risk that comes with putting so much of my personal net worth and future net worth into a single asset. And we're going to continue this discussion in just a little bit. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Julian Ng, Morning Run presenter, certified financial planner, and now the co-founder and chief financial guy at Accru, which is en route to hopefully becoming a robo-advisor. And also, to longtime listeners of Ringgit and Sense, he was the former host of Ringgit and Sense. Now, Julian, I liked what you pointed out a little earlier about you have to realize whether you're being a consumer or an investor of property, because these are two different things. When you own a home and you're living in it, you're a consumer of property. If you are an owner of multiple properties, then maybe you can consider yourself an investor. But I think a lot of times, people consider the home they're living in as an as an investment or an asset. What thoughts do you have there?
You know, Roshan, you strike me as an Apple fan, right? buying all the Apple products, Apple iPhone and Apple TV and what have you. And I think there is no doubt in the minds of the consumers of Apple products that they are consumers. They buy the Apple products. They don't think about, oh, hey, what kind of dividends am I getting from the Apple, right? That is already veering into the territory of investments. When you think of how much Apple pays you in dividends and how much the stock prices would rise, those are different objectives, right? So it's the same with property. It's very, very important to know whether you're a property investor so that you can take the right, correct risk. You shouldn't buy a property with the intention of living in it and thinking you're an investor as well. You know, those two ideas, I feel, should be separated.
And what do you feel about, so we were talking about concentration risk, and like personally for me, I find that buying a single property and putting that much capital outlay and future cash flow outlay into one asset, very scary. But there are other options, just like ETFs broke up big companies into smaller, big shares into smaller pieces. REITs have been talked about as a way of investing the property without buying a single one. Do you have any thoughts on REITs?
Yeah, REITs is a beautiful product, I would say, a beautiful instrument that has been created to allow people to own a set of properties without spending too much money, right? Bit-size investment, micro-investments. But that really highlights the issue of objectives. Are you a renter? Are you a consumer of homes? Or are you an investor? So if you are an investor, REITs can become an option for you. But I think it's still important to consider your risk preferences, right? Because risk preference for the riskiness of REITs are not as volatile as, say, stocks, you know, a portfolio of stocks or buying into the S&P 500 ETFs, which will give you higher risk and higher returns, right? More volatility, but more returns over the long term. And then you've got to question for yourself whether that is something that you want, that whether that is within your objectives.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out here that whatever you're saying is in the long term, right? As your blog very aptly points out, the very long run. Most of us here need to be planning for our retirements or hopeful retirements. I think the jury is out on whether retirement is a construct that can be held. But it's about long term. So if we take historical data on the stock market, maybe it produces 7 to 8% per annum. We cannot say that about the next 10 years or the past 10 years. No one anticipated the bull run that we've seen over the last 10 years.
Absolutely. And nobody also anticipated the kind of property overhang that we're seeing in Malaysia right now. The property market in Malaysia has been very soft over the last few years. People assumed 5 years ago or 10 years ago that the good times will last forever. But it really goes to show that we can't predict what happens with the assets that we buy into. So you can't go in with a mindset that the returns, the good returns from property will be guaranteed.
Yeah, so Julian, let's talk about renting specifically and focus on renters. There's a lot of talk about how rental yields are very good now because of the oversupply that we're seeing. Even when I personally, because I'm looking at different options, there are a lot of occupants, vacancies for rental and valuations of houses haven't really come down. When you are looking to rent a place, what should you be looking for?
Actually, rental yields is the thing that would be the biggest factor, I would say, to look out for, because the more your rental yield is lower, and just for the benefit of people who don't know what it is, let's define rental yields as your annual rental divided by the market price of your home, right? Your intended home. So let's say there are a lot, and I think people are very lucky right now because there are a lot of platforms where there are out there where you can immediately find out what exactly the rental yields are. And just doing a quick check, you know, you get rental yields between 1.something%, 2%, even 3% would be on the more expensive side. And that implies that rental yields right now are cheaper than your mortgage rates, which are around 4 to 4.5%. And that means that it's a renter's market right now, because if you bought, you would be paying more in terms of monthly installments compared to your rental. So it's actually a good time to rent. And the lower your rental yields are compared to your mortgage interest rate, the better it is, because you can then free up a lot more money to invest. And actually, this would put the this would give a leg up to renters compared to buyers, because they would be able to accumulate their investments much faster than a buyer, actually. Yeah.
So I think just to put that into context here, if you're talking with the way we're the way you've put it, essentially, if you are a renter, it's a good time to rent. But if you're an investor, if you already have a house that you're renting out as an investor, your ability to get return on that investment isn't as good.
It isn't as good. There is also a cash flow problem if you wanted to use the money. You can't sell one brick at a time to raise funds, right? But with a renter, they can actually sell down bits, little bits of the investments that they have accumulated. And I think that the more the rental yield becomes lower, much lower than the interest rate, you can actually create a housing fund for yourself that would last for forever. You know, the dividends and the returns from your portfolio of investments would be able to fund your rental forever, I feel, if rental goes up much in a smaller magnitude than your house pricing. You know, landlords don't ask to raise rentals every year, right? So you got that drag of rental not going up every year compared to inflation.
Yeah, and then from my personal experience, it seems like landlords don't want to spook renters at this point, because they want to keep that cash flow coming in as opposed to having to look for a new tenant. But you raised something that was interesting, the liquidity issue that comes from owning a piece of property. I think this is something that we often forget about. You can't just sell a house overnight or an apartment overnight. You have to find a willing buyer in order to sell that property, and that can take time. And sometimes that time can cost you a lot of money. And then there's obviously the concentration risk. But in spite of all this, there is still this concept of ownership, right? We used the Apple example just now, Julian. Yes, I have my iPhone with me, and I like the fact that I've owned this iPhone as opposed to renting it from someone else. I don't want to feel the insecurity that someone could end this contract with me, or maybe I less like that sense of ownership. People like owning their houses because they feel it's an asset they can hold throughout their lifetimes, and even in retirement, they're able to live there without worrying about rental payments. What do you think about this mindset?
I think it really all boils down to affordability. If you can afford to buy a home, I think you should definitely buy one, because you know they say that your home is your castle. So that there is actually a lot of security in owning your own home, because you can have the freedom for design and decoration to the way you want it to be. And you also fix the inflation rate. We were talking about rental inflation rates earlier, which would affect rental in a limited way. But house buyers don't have that because their mortgage payments are fixed throughout the course of the year. So as you move on in your ownership, the installment portions from an inflation viewpoint becomes less and less from a market current value perspective, right? It becomes less and less. So there are actually advantages to buying, but not if you can't afford it, right? If you're going to be ball and chained to your mortgage payment, you can't have the flexibility of leaving your job, for example.
Yeah, so these are all the different considerations that we have to take into consideration. The concentration risk that comes from buying a property, the liquidity issue if you want to get rid of it, and the being tied down to that mortgage. But at the same time, it all comes down to affordability. We started this conversation off by talking about how there's no cookie cutter method here, and you really have to do some work on your own side, get a piece of paper out and write down the pros and cons, I guess, get that yellow legal paper out. But Jules, before we part ways here, do you have any parting comments for us based on this topic?
Okay, so So if I want to give a cookie cutter answer, I would first go with affordability. If you can't afford to buy a house, don't worry about it. Just rent, because rental gives a lot of benefits. For example, it frees up a lot of funds for your lifestyle spending, for your job investments. Also importantly, for your job mobility, you can leave a job anytime because you're not ball and chained to your mortgage. You can choose to stay close to your workplace and just leave anytime with a minimal commitment. You also live a debt-free life in the early part of your career. And it really takes the idea of mortgage debt out of your life decisions. So that may give you very much more flexibility in the early part of your career.
All right. I think that's a very succinct advice there, Julian. And I think that's helped me personally. But on that note, thank you so much for dropping by the studio today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Julian Ng, Morning Run presenter, certified financial planner and co-founder and chief financial guy at Accru, which is en route to hopefully becoming a robo-advisor. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, if you have any questions, let us know over at Twitter at Ringgit & Sense or over email at ringgit@bfm.my. Up next is the 10 a.m. news bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanesan, signing off for the Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.